They found him stretched out on a warm ledge in the afternoon sun, admiring his beautiful new coat, for he had been in retirement for the last 10 days changing his skin, and now he was very splendid, darting his big blunt-nosed head along the ground and twisting the 30 feet of his body into fantastic knots and curves and licking his lips as he thought of his dinner to come. "He has not eaten," said Baloo with a grunt of relief. As soon as he saw the beautifully mottled brown and yellow jacket. "Be careful, Bagheera. He is always a little blind after he has changed his skin and very quick to strike." Kaa was not a poison snake. In fact, he rather despised the poison snakes as cowards. But his strength lay in his hug, and when he had once lapped his huge coils round anybody, there was no more to be said. "Good hunting!" cried Baloo. Sitting up on his haunches, like all snakes of his breed, Kaa was rather deaf and did not hear the call at first. Then he curled up, ready for any accident, his head lowered. "Good hunting for us all," he answered. "Oho, Baloo, what dost thou do here?" "Good hunting, Bagheera. One of us at least needs food. Is there any news of game afoot? A doe now, or even a young buck? I am as empty as a dried well." "We are hunting," said Baloo carelessly. He knew that you must not hurry Kaa. He is too big. "Give me permission to come with you," said Kaa. "A blow more or less is nothing to thee, Bagheera or Baloo, but I have to wait and wait for days in a wood path and climb half a night on the mere chance of young ape. Pshh! The branches are not what they were when I was young. Rotten twigs and dry boughs are they all. Maybe thy great weight has something to do with the matter," said Baloo. "I'm a fair length." "A fair length," said Kaa with a little pride. "But for all that, it is the fault of this new-grown timber. I came very near to falling on my last hunt, very near indeed, and the noise of my slipping, for my tail was not tight dropped around the tree, waked the bandalog, and they called me most evil names." "Footless yellow earth worm," said Bagheera under his whiskers, as though he were trying to remember something. "Have they ever called me that?" said Kaa. "Something of that kind it was that they shouted to us last moon, but we never noticed them. They will say anything, even that thou hast lost all thy teeth, and wilt not face anything bigger than a kid, because they are indeed shameless, this bandalog, because thou art afraid of the he-goat's horns." Bagheera went on swiftly. "Now a snake, especially a very old python like Kaa, very seldom shows that he is angry." But Baloo and Bagheera could see the big swallowing muscles on either side of Kaa's throat ripple and bulge. "The bandalog have shifted their grounds," he said quietly. "When I came up into the sun today, I heard them whooping among the treetops."
It is the bandalog that we follow now," said Baloo. But the word stuck in his throat, for that was the first time in his memory that one of the jungle people had owned to being interested in the doings of the monkeys. "Beyond doubt, then, it is no small thing that takes two such hunters, leaders in their own jungle, I am certain, on the trail of the bandalog," Kaa replied courteously, and he swelled with curiosity.
"Indeed," Baloo began,
I am no more than the old and sometimes very foolish teacher of the law to the Sewanee wolf cubs. And Bagheera here
is Bagheera, said the Black Panther, and his jaws shut with a snap, for he did not believe in being humble.
The trouble is this, Kaa. Those nuts Tillis and pickers of palm leaves have stolen away our man cub, of whom thou hast perhaps heard.
I heard some news from Ikki. His quills make him presumptuous, of a man-thing that was entered into a wolf pack, but I did not believe. Ikki is full of stories, half heard and very badly told.
But it is true. He is such a man cub as never was, said Baloo. The best and wisest and boldest of a man cubs, my own pupil, who shall make the name of Baloo famous through all the jungles. And besides, we love him, Kaa.
Tss, tss, said Kaa, waving his head to and fro. I also have known what love is. There are tales I could tell that need a clear night when we are all well fed to the praise properly, said Bagheera quickly. Our man cub is in the hands of the Bandar Log now, and we know that all of the jungle people, they fear Kaa alone.
They fear me alone. They have good reason, said Kaa.
Chattering, foolish, vain, foolish and chattering are the monkeys. But a man thing in their hands is in no good luck. They grow tired of the nuts they pick and throw them down. They carry a branch half a day, meaning to do great things with it, and then they snap it in two. That man thing is not to be envied. They called me also Yellowfish, was it not?
Warm, earthworm, said Bagheera,
as well as other things which I cannot say for shame. We must remind them to speak well of their master.
Hass.
We must help their wandering memories. Now, whither went they with the cub?
The jungle alone knows. Towards the sunset, I believe, said Baloo.
We had thought that thou wouldst know, Kaa.
I? How? I take them when they come in my way. But I do not hunt the Bandar Log or frogs or green scum on a waterhole, for that matter.
Up! Hilo, look up! Baloo the Sewanee wolf pack!
Baloo looked up to see where the voice came from, and there was Ran the kite, sweeping down with the sun shining on the upturned flanges of his wings. It was near Ran's bedtime, but he had ranged all over the jungle looking for the bear, and had missed him in the thick foliage.
What is it? Said Baloo.
I have seen Mowgli among the Bandar Log. He bade me to tell you. I watched. The Bandar Log have taken him beyond the river to the Monkey City, to the cold lairs. They may stay there for a night, or 10 nights, or an hour. I have told the bat to watch through the dark time. That is my message. Good hunting, all you below.
Full gorge and a deep sleep to you, Ran, cried Bagheera. I will remember thee in my next kill, and put aside the head for thee alone, O best of kites.
It is nothing. The boy held the master word. I could have done no less.
And Ran circled up again to his roost.
He has not forgotten to use his tongue, said Baloo with a chuckle of pride. To think of one so young remembering the master word. For the bird too while he was being pulled across trees.
It was most firmly driven into him, said Bagheera.
But I am proud of him, and now we must go to the cold lairs.
They all knew where that place was, but few of the jungle people ever went there.
because what they called the Cold Lairs was an old deserted city, lost and buried in the jungle, and beasts seldom use a place that men have once used. The wild boar will, but the hunting tribes do not. Besides, the monkeys lived there as much as they could be said to live anywhere, and no self-respecting animal would come within eyeshot of it except in times of drought, when the half-ruined tanks and reservoirs held a little water. "It is half a night's journey at full speed," said Bagheera, and Baloo looked very serious. "I will go as fast as I can," he said anxiously. "We dare not wait for thee. Follow, Baloo. We must go on the quick foot, Kaa and I." "Feet or no feet, I can keep abreast of all thy four," said Kaa shortly. Baloo made one effort to hurry, but had to sit down panting, and so they left him to come on later, while Bagheera hurried forward at the quick panther canter. Kaa said nothing, but, strive as Bagheera might, the huge rock python held level with him. When they came to a hill stream, Bagheera gained, because he bounded across while Kaa swam, his head and 2 feet of his neck clear in the water, but on level ground Kaa made up the distance. "By the broken log that freed me," said Bagheera when twilight had fallen, "thou art no slow goer." "I am hungry," said Kaa. "Besides, they called me Speckled Frog. Warm, earth warm, and yellow to boot. All one, let us go on." And Kaa seemed to pour himself along the ground, find it the shortest row with his steady eyes, and keep it to it. In the Cold Lairs, the monkey people were not thinking of Mowgli's friends at all. They had brought the boy to the lost city and were very much pleased with themselves for the time. Mowgli had never seen an Indian city before, and though this was almost a heap of ruins, it seemed very wonderful and splendid. Some king had built it long ago on a little hill. You could still trace the stone causeways that led up to the ruined gates, where the last splinters of wood hung to the worn, rusted hinges. Trees had grown into and out of the walls. The battlements were tumbled down and decayed, and wild creepers hung out of the windows of the towers on the walls in bushy hanging clumps. A great roofless palace crowned the hill, and the marble of the courtyards and the fountains was split and stained with red and green, and the very cobblestones in the courtyard, where the king's elephants used to live, had been thrust up and apart by grasses and young trees. From the palace you could see the rows and rows of roofless houses that made up the city looking like empty honeycombs filled with blackness. The shapeless block of stone that had been an idol in the square, where 4 roads met, the pits and dimples at street corners where the public wells once stood, and the shattered domes of temples with wild figs sprouting on their sides. The monkeys called the place their city and pretended to despise the jungle people because they lived in the forest. And yet they never knew what the buildings were made for, nor how to use them. They would sit in circles on the hall or the king's council chamber and scratch for fleas and pretend to be men, or they would run in and out of the roofless houses and collect pieces of plaster and old bricks in a corner and forget where they had hidden them, and fight and cry in scuffing crowds, and then break off to play up and down the terraces of the king's garden, where they would shake the rose trees and the oranges in sport to see the fruit and flowers fall. They explored all the passages and dark tunnels in the palace, and the hundreds of little dark rooms, but they never remembered what they had seen and what they had not, and so drifted about at once in twos or crowd, telling each other that they were doing as men did. They drank at their tongues and made the water all muddy, and then they fought over it. And then they would all rush together in mobs and shout, "There is no one in the jungle so wise and good and clever and strong and gentle as the Bandarlog." Then all would begin again till they grew tired of the city and went back to the treetops, hoping the jungle people would notice them. Mowgli, who had been trained under the law of the jungle, did not like or understand this kind of life. The monkeys dragged him into the cold lairs late in the afternoon, and instead of going to sleep, as Mowgli would have done after a long journey, they joined hands and danced about and sang their foolish songs. One of the monkeys made a speech and told his companions that Mowgli's capture marked a new thing in the history of the Bandarlog, for Mowgli was going to show them how to wave sticks and canes together as a protection against rain and cold. Mowgli picked up some creepers and began to walk them in and out, and the monkeys tried to imitate, but in a very few minutes they lost interest and began to pull their friends' tails or jump up and down on all fours, coughing. "I wish to eat," said Mowgli. "I am a stranger in this part of the jungle. Bring me food or give me leave to hunt here." 20 or 30 monkeys bounded away to bring him nuts and wild pawpaws, but they fell to fighting on the road, and it was too much trouble to go back with what was left of the fruit. Mowgli was sore and angry as well as hungry, and he roamed through the empty city giving the strangers hunting call from time to time, but no one answered him, and Mowgli felt that he had reached a very bad place indeed. "All that Baloo has said about the Bandarlog is true," he thought to himself. "They have no law, no hunting call, and no leaders, nothing but foolish words and little picking, thievish hands. So if I am starved or killed here, it will be all my own fault. But I must try to return to my own jungle. Baloo will surely beat me, but that is better than chasing silly rose leaves with the Bandarlog." No sooner had he walked to the city wall than the monkeys pulled him back, telling him that he did not know how happy he was, and pinching him to make him grateful. He set his teeth and said nothing, but went with the shouting monkeys to a terrace above the red sandstone reservoirs that were half full of rainwater. There was a ruined summer house of white marble in the center of the terrace, built for queens dead 100 years ago. The domed roof had half fallen in and blocked up the underground passage from the palace by which the queens used to enter. But the walls were made of screens of marble tracery, beautiful milk-white fretwork, set with agates and cornelians and jasper and lapis lazuli, and as the moon came up behind the hill, it shone through the open walk, casting shadows on the ground, like black velvet embroidery. So, sleepy and hungry as he was, Mowgli could not help laughing when the Bandarlog began, 20 at a time, to tell him how great and wise and strong and gentle they were, and how foolish he was to wish to leave them. "We are great, we are free, we are wonderful, we are the most wonderful people in all the jungle. We all say so, and so it must be true," they shouted. "Now, as you are a new listener and can carry our words back to the jungle people, so that they may notice us in future, we will tell you all about our most excellent selves." Mowgli made no objection, and the monkeys gathered by hundreds and hundreds on the terrace to listen to their own speakers singing the praises of the Bandarlog. And whenever a speaker stopped for want of breath, they would all shout together, "This is true, we all say so." Mowgli nodded and blinked and said, Yes, when they asked him a question, and his head spun with the noise. Tabaki the jackal must have bitten all these people, he said to himself. And now they have madness. Certainly this is Diwani, the madness. Do they never go to sleep? Now there is a cloud coming to cover that moon. If it were only a big enough cloud, I might try to run away in the darkness, but I am tired. That same cloud was being watched by two good friends in the ruined ditch below the city wall. For Bagheera and Kaa, knowing well how dangerous the monkey people were in large numbers, did not wish to run any risks. The monkeys never fight unless they are 100 to 1, and few in the jungle care for those odds. I will go to the west wall, Kaa whispered, and come down swiftly with the slope of the ground in my favor. They will not throw themselves upon my back in their hundreds, but... I know it, said Bagheera. Would that Baloo were here, but we must do what we can. When the cloud covers the moon, I shall go to the terrace. They hold some sort of council there over the boy. Good hunting, said Kaa grimly, and glided away to the west wall. That happened to be the least ruined of any. And the big snake was delayed a while before he could find a way up the stones. The cloud hit the moon, and as Mowgli wondered what would come next, he heard Bagheera's light feet on the terrace. The black panther had raced up the slope almost without a sound and was striking. He knew better than to waste time in biting right and left among the monkeys, who were seated round Mowgli in circles, 50 and 60 deep. There was a howl of fright and rage, and then as Bagheera tripped on the rolling, kicking bodies beneath him, a monkey shouted, "There's only one here, kill him, kill!" A scuffling mass of monkeys, biting, scratching, tearing, and pulling, closed over Bagheera, while 5 or 6 laid hold of Mowgli, dragged him up the wall of the summer house, and pushed him through the hole of the broken dome. A man-trained boy would have been badly bruised, for the fall was a good 15 feet. But Mowgli fell as Baloo had taught him to fall, and landed on his feet. "Stay there," shouted the monkeys, "till we have killed thy friends, and later we will play with thee, if the poison people leave thee alive." "We be of one blood, ye and I," said Mowgli, quickly giving the snake's call. He could hear rustling and hissing in the rubbish all around him, and gave the call a second time to make sure. "Even so, down hoods all," said half a dozen low voices. Every ruin in India becomes, sooner or later, a dwelling place of snakes, and the old summer house was alive with cobras. "Stand still, little brother, for thy feet may do us harm." Mowgli stood as quietly as he could, peering through the open walk and listening to the furious din of the fight round the black panther. The yells and chatterings and scuffling and Bagheera's deep, hoarse cough as he backed and bucked and twisted and plunged under the heaps of his enemies. For the first time since he was born, Bagheera was fighting for his life. Baloo must be at hand. Bagheera would not have come alone, Mowgli thought. And then he called aloud, "To the tank, Bagheera! Roll to the water tanks! Roll and plunge, get to the water." Bagheera heard, and the cry that told him Mowgli was safe gave him new courage. He walked his way desperately, inch by inch, straight for the reservoirs, halting in silence. Then from the ruined wall nearest the jungle rose up the rumbling war shout of Baloo. The old bear had done his best, but he could not come before. "Bagheera," he shouted. "I'm here, I climb, I haste, aurro! The stones sleep under my feet, Wait my coming, O most infamous Bandalog.
He panted up the terrace only to disappear to the head in a wave of monkeys. But he threw himself squarely on his haunches and, spreading out his forepaws, hugged as many as he could hold. And then began to hit with a regular pat pat pat, like the flipping strokes of a paddle wheel. A crash and a splash told Mowgli that Bagheera had fought his way to the tank, where the monkeys could not follow. The panther lay gasping for breath, his head just out of the water, while the monkeys stood three deep on the red steps, dancing up and down with rage, ready to spring upon him from all sides if he came out to help Baloo. It was then that Bagheera lifted up his dripping chin and in despair gave the snake's call for protection. We be of one blood, ye and I, for he believed that Kaa had turned tail at the last minute. Even Baloo, half smothered under the monkeys on the edge of the terrace, could not help chuckling as he heard the black panther asking for help. Kaa had only just walked his way over the west wall, landing with a wrench that dislodged a coping stone into the ditch. He had no intention of losing any advantage of the ground, and coiled and uncoiled himself once or twice to be sure that every foot of his long body was in walking order. All that while the fight with Baloo went on and the monkeys yelled in the tank round Bagheera, and manned the bed flying to and fro carried the news of the great battle over the jungle, till even Hathi, the wild elephant, drowned, and far away, scattered bands of the monkey folk woke and came leaping along the tree roads to help their comrades in the cold lairs. And the noise of the fight roused all the day birds for miles round. Then Kaa came straight, quickly, and anxious to kill. The fight and strength of a python is in the driving blow of his head, backed by all the strength and weight of his body. If you can imagine a lance, or a battering ram, or a hammer weighing nearly half a ton, driven by a cool, quiet mind, living in the handle of it, you can roughly imagine what Kaa was like when he fought. A python 4 or 5 feet long can knock a man down if he hits him fairly in the chest. And Kaa was 30 feet long, as you know. His first stroke was delivered into the heart of the crowd round Baloo. It was sent home with shut mouth in silence, and there was no need of a second. The monkeys scattered with cries of, "Kaa, it is Kaa, run, run!" Generations of monkeys had been scared into good behavior by the stories their elders told them of Kaa, the night thief, who could sleep along the branches as quietly as moss grows, and steal away the strongest monkey that ever lived, of old Kaa, who could make himself look so like a dead branch or a rotten stump that the wisest were deceived till the branch caught them. Kaa was everything that the monkeys feared in the jungle, for none of them knew the limits of his power. None of them could look him in the face, and none had ever come alive out of his hug. And so they ran, stammering with terror, to the walls and the roofs of the houses, and Baloo drew a deep breath of relief. His fur was much thicker than Bagheera's, but he had suffered sorely in the fight. Then Kaa opened his mouth for the first time and spoke one long hissing word, and the faraway monkeys, hurrying to the defense of the cold lairs, stayed where they were, cowering, till the loaded branches bent and crackled under them. The monkeys on the walls and the empty houses stopped their cries, and in the stillness that fell upon the city, Mowgli heard Bagheera shaking his wet sides as he came up from the tank. Then the clamor broke out again. The monkeys leaped higher up the walls. They clung around the necks of the big stone idols and shrieked as they skipped along the battlements, while Mowgli,
dancing in the summer house, put his eye to the screen walk and hold it old-fashioned between his front teeth to show his derision and contempt. "Get the man cub out of that trap, I can do no more," Akira gasped. "Let us take the man cub and go, they may attack again." "They will not move till I order them. Stay you so," Kaa hissed, and the city was silent once more. "I could not come before, brother, but I think I heard thee call." This was to Bagheera.
I may have cried out in the battle," Bagheera answered. "Baloo, art thou hurt?"
"I am not sure that they did not pull me into 100 little berlins," said Baloo, gravely shaking one leg after the other.
"Wow, I am sore. Kaa, we owe thee, I think, our lives, Bagheera and I."
"No matter. Where is the manlin?"
"Here, in the trap. I cannot climb out," cried Mowgli.
The curve of the broken dome was above his head. "Take him away. He dances like Mao the peacock. He will crush our young," said the cobras inside.
"Ha," said Kaa with a chuckle.
"He has friends everywhere, this manling. Stand back, manling, and hide you, O poison people. I break down the wall."
Kaa looked carefully till he found a discolored crack in the marble tracery, showing a weak spot. Made two or three light taps with his head to get the distance, and then lifting up 6 feet of his body clear off the ground, sent home half a dozen full power smashing blows, noise first. The screen walk broke and fell away in a cloud of dust and rubbish, and Mowgli leaped through the opening and flung himself between Baloo and Bagheera, an arm around each big neck.
"Art thou hard?" said Baloo, hugging him softly. "I am sore, hungry, and not a little bruised. But oh, they have handled ye grievously, my brothers. Ye bleed."
"Others also," said Bagheera, licking his lips and looking at the monkey dead on the terrace and round the tank.
It is nothing, if thou art safe. Oh, my pride of all little frogs," whimpered Baloo.
"Of that we shall judge later," said Bagheera in a dry voice that Mowgli did not at all like. "But here is Kaa, to whom we owe the battle, and thou owest thy life. Thank him according to our customs, Mowgli." Mowgli turned and saw the great python's head swaying a foot above his own.
"So this is the manling," said Kaa, "very soft in his skin, and he is not unlike the Bandar Log.
Have a care, manling, that I do not mistake thee for a monkey some twilight, when I have newly changed my coat."
"We be one blood, thou and I," Mowgli answered. "I take my life from thee tonight. My kill shall be thy kill, if ever thou art hungry, O Kaa."
"All things, little brother," said Kaa, though his eyes twinkled. "And what may so bold a hunter kill? I ask that I may follow when next he goes abroad."
"I kill nothing, I am too little, but I drive goats toward such as can use them. When thou art empty, come to me and see if I speak the truth. I have some skill in this," he held out his hands, "and if ever thou art in a trap, I may pay the debt which I owe to thee, to Bagheera and to Baloo here. Good hunting to ye all, my masters."
"Well said," growled Baloo, for Mowgli had returned thanks very prettily. The python dropped his head lightly for a minute on Mowgli's shoulder. "A brave heart and a courteous tongue," said he. "They shall carry thee far through the jungle, manling. But now go hence quickly with thy friends. Go and sleep, for the moon sets, and what follows
it is not well that thou shouldst see. The moon was sinking behind the hills, and the lines of trembling monkeys, huddled together on the walls and battlements, looked like ragged, shaky fingers of things. Baloo went down to the tank for a drink, and Bagheera began to put his fur in order as Kaa glided out into the center of the terrace and brought his jaws together with a ringing snap that drew all the monkeys' eyes upon him. "The moon sets," he said. "Is there yet light enough to see?" From the walls came a moan like the wind in the treetops. "We see, O Kaa." "Good, begin now the dance. The dance of the hunger of Kaa. Sit still and watch." He turned twice or thrice in a big circle, waving his head from right to left. Then he began making loops and figures of eight with his body and soft, oozy triangles that melted into squares and five-sided figures and coiled mounds, never wrestling, never hurrying, and never stopping his low humming song. It grew darker and darker, till at last the dragging shifting coils disappeared, but they could hear the rustle of the scales. Baloo and Bagheera stood still as stone, growling in their throats, their neck hair bristling, and Mowgli watched and wondered. "Banda Log," said the voice of Kaa at last, "can ye steal foot or hand without my order? Speak." "Without thy order we cannot steal foot or hand, O Kaa." "Good. Come all one pace nearer to me." The lines of the monkeys swayed forward helplessly, and Baloo and Bagheera took one stiff step forward with them. "Nearer," hissed Kaa, and they all moved again. Mowgli laid his hands on Baloo and Bagheera to get them away, and the two great beasts started as though they had been waked from a dream. "Keep thy hand on my shoulder," Bagheera whispered. "Keep it there, or I must go back to Kaa. Ah! It is only old Kaa making circles on the dust," said Mowgli. "Let us go." And the three slipped off through a gap into the walls to the jungle.